If you have your Bibles with you, I want to talk about the suddenlies of God. And we've kind of had a few suddenlies here this morning where that has already taken place, where surprises happen. But I want to talk and change your focus to some good suddenlies, the suddenlies of God. And the scriptures we're going to be reading are in Acts chapter 2. And the first few verses, and then we jump over to verse 14. So just if you want to follow along, it should be on the screen as well. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Now what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, even though we begin this time with heavy hearts, Lord, as we learn of some of these things and that are going on in our church, Lord, as we go through some of these transitions, Father, I just pray that you would just kind of bring our focus back here to your word. Because, Lord, you have good things to speak to us. You have good things to say to us, Lord. And I just pray you would just help me, Lord, to declare those things today. In Jesus' name, amen. You kind of wonder sometimes, well, how am I supposed to speak after all that kind of, those kinds of things. And as I was just praying and asking the Lord led me to speak on this suddenlies of God. And you kind of struggle with that for a while, and then you just kind of say, okay, God will do what you want to do. And so that's where we're going to go this morning. So I want to share with you about the suddenlies of God, moments in time where God surprises us, moments in times where God shows up on the scene without warning, it's unexpected, and God occurrences start to take place. I love surprises. I really do. And I tell God that, God, you are welcome to surprise me at any time. In fact, I love praying that because he has been doing that. He has been surprising me. And I also pray that for our church. And I say, God, you are welcome to surprise us here in church. Now, when you say that, it's easy to say, but sometimes you are really caught off guard by some of the surprises that do happen at church. But we do want to give room for God to move in our church. And if he desires to move suddenly upon our church, we do want to experience that. Now, I really don't care if we get, you know, all the planned things done in the service. We do make a plan. That's important that you got to have a plan. We make that. But I'm the type of person that if, you know, if those things don't happen and God seems to move in a different way, I'm okay with that. And I welcome that. And I want the Lord to be welcomed here in our church to just move suddenly upon all of us. I do want encounters with God. And I realize that the thing that's going to change people's lives most is not really going to be my preaching. It's not really going to be our singing. It's not really going to be our church and all the good things that we have about our church. It's going to be when people start encountering God. When they start getting face to face with God, when they start to encounter him, that they know, that they know, that they know God is real. And that's what we want to see here in our church. That's what our, really, that desire really is that we're welcoming God to surprise. We're welcoming God to show up unexpectedly and encounter his people. Last week, I was just slipping through my emails. And you know how you get sometimes you get pop-ups as they you do that from some emails. It just automatically pops up something else. And I'm trying to get rid of it. And I'm pressing that, trying to get rid of it. It's just not going away. And so then I kind of like, maybe I should read what the pop-up says. And it talked about preparing for the glory of God. And so it said, free download. I said, oh, better take this. And so I did. And I downloaded this this series. Unfortunately, it was only one of this series. But it was a series about the suddenlies of God. Or that particular video was of the suddenlies of God. And as I watched that video, it really stirred my heart, that so much so that I kind of bought the book online, and I read the book, and then I ordered a hard copy of the book as well, and then I ordered a DVD series of that so that I can show that to you here maybe within the next month or so, that we'll show that here in our church. But anyway, it was by John and Carol Arnott, and they're from the Toronto church where they experienced a great revival there, and it really blessed me. And as I was listening to that message that John was speaking himself about the suddenlies of God, it kind of caused something inside me to be stirred up to look at all the suddenlies. And I was quite surprised. There's a lot of suddenlies in the Bible. And so I quickly said, okay, I can't look at all the Old Testaments. I'm just going to go in my concordance and look at everything that's said in the New Testament about suddenlies that happened in Scripture. And in the New Testament, there's all kinds of suddenlies that happened, some major suddenlies that has happened. One of those suddenlies would be the birth of Jesus Christ. And that as Jesus was born, that there were some suddenlies that took place that got the world's attention. Luke chapter 2, verse 9 says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. And you know, sometimes when suddenlies happen from God, you might get scared because it's a surprise. You weren't expecting it. Those shepherds were not expecting all of a sudden there to be angels singing and glorifying and praising God and telling them this message that Jesus was born. We go a little bit further to the death of Christ when Jesus was crucified on the cross. The Bible tells us in that story, as Jesus was crucified, as he died, tells us in Luke 23, 45, the light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. That curtain was a curtain that separated the holies of holies, that no one else could go into the holy holies except for the priest. But when Jesus died, he paid the price. That curtain was rent so that we can now go into the holies of holies. It happened suddenly. Then we can look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew 28, 2. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. We could go on reading that story, and suddenly some angels appeared to talk to those who came to the tomb to see where Jesus was. And they told them that he's not here. He has risen. So there's some major suddenlies. When a suddenly happens, it's something that's important. It's something that needs to grab our attention for us to pay attention to. Now we could go on talking about a lot of suddenlies that happen in Scripture. But the suddenlies I want to focus on this morning are just two. And they are the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the return of Jesus Christ. Those are suddenlies that the Bible says will happen, have happened, and we will see soon take place in our very lives. But first of all, I want to talk about the suddenly of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Now, it was quite the day. They were praying, they were seeking God, they were waiting with expectation for the promise of the Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus had told them to go and prepare. Go and wait until the promise comes. And so they were doing some things that we need to be paying attention to. That they were praying, they were seeking the Lord, they were waiting with expectation for that promise to be filled. And those are all key factors that we need to be applying to our own lives as we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to happen right here in our own church. Bible tells us that story. Suddenly, Acts chapter 2, verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit started with a suddenly. They were in the upper room. They were praying for the promises of God to be fulfilled. But they really had no idea of how this was really going to happen. They were just being obedient to wait for the promise with expectation. And that's what I believe God is speaking to us as well. We just need to be obedient to keep waiting for the promises that have been spoken over our church and over our lives. Keep doing what you know is right. Keep doing what you know God wants you to do until you receive those promises, until they start taking place. It was a promise from God that Jesus had told his disciples to expect and that they were to wait for. But I'm sure they weren't expecting what really happened on that day. The Bible says there was a sound from heaven. There was a roaring like a mighty windstorm. Imagine that. So loud, like a mighty windstorm. There were flames of fire that settled over them. Imagine that, if you would, that all of a sudden you looked here and all of a sudden you saw flames of fire all over people's heads. It tells us that they began to speak in other languages. Imagine that. All of us here, everyone starts speaking in a different language. It would be quite fascinating. It also tells us that they were acting as if they were drunk. So heavy was the presence of God that when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were staggering under the weight of that presence. And it looked like, as far as the world was concerned, these people are drunk. So it certainly must have looked like a crazy scene. A loud noise. So loud, the Bible tells us, that it caused people to come running. It was like an explosion. Very loud noise. They came running to see what was going on. And then to come and see flames of fire over people. Imagine that. There have been stories in history where churches have actually, fire departments have gone to churches because they saw a flame, a church on fire, literally. And yet it wasn't on fire at all. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you would then also seeing people stagger. People looking like in the natural, maybe that they were drunk because of the weight of the presence of God. See, when God's presence comes upon us, sometimes you can't stand. Sometimes you fall to the ground. Sometimes you will stagger because his presence becomes so strong over you. People speaking in all kinds of languages, and all of this happened suddenly. Suddenly. And then we see, as we read this story, the Apostle Peter, he stands to address this crowd of now of over 3,000 people that have gathered. And he begins to tell them that, folks, this is what God, Jesus, has been speaking about. This is what has even been prophesied in the Old Testament and the prophet Joel. And he tells us in these verses, 17 to 18 of chapter 2 of Acts, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So he was telling us this day was going to be the beginning of God encounters where people will begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and new ways. And from that day forward to this day, people are continuing to encounter the Holy Spirit in powerful ways. And you will notice he talks about that. He quickly then shifts to the day of the Lord. And so that tells me that God is going to continue to pour out of his Spirit until that day comes, until he comes. So it's really a passage that encourages me to expect outpourings of the Holy Spirit right up until the return of Christ. The day of Pentecost was not the sum total of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because it goes on to speak of this continuing in the lives of our children and our children's children, that they're going to be prophesying, they're going to be speaking. The Holy Spirit is going to fall upon people. So it's a wonderful thing. And it's going to continue. This outpouring is to last until the Jesus Christ returns. And throughout the centuries, we have seen that, where God again and again and again just pours out His Spirit upon people. Amazing things just start to happen. As we look at our own denomination, we've really come out of the what happened in Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles in the early 1900s. But then as we look in just the last 30 years, how there's been multiple outpourings of the Holy Spirit all over the world. It's increasing. It's not getting less. It's an increasing event that is taking place. And even in our own nation of Canada and the United States, we are seeing God move in miraculous and mighty ways. We can think back to the Brownsville Revival, Pensacola, Florida. We can think of the Toronto Airport Revival in Toronto. We can think of the Smithton Revival near Kansas City. Mobile Revival in Alabama. The International House of Prayer Revival in Kansas City. The Redding Revival in Redding, California. That's just a few of them. But they all happened suddenly. Suddenly. It's interesting that the Brownsville Revival, they started having prayer on Sunday nights. And then one Sunday night on Father's Day, kind of a day that, you know, you have a Father's Day message. It's not really a day you're expecting. This is going to be the day, like, for sure, this will be it. Suddenly, God showed up. Suddenly, revival took place in that church and in that city. As I was reading this book by John Arnott about the Toronto airport, it started suddenly. Suddenly. It was kind of in a midweek service. They had a guest speaker. There was about 130 people that were there, so it wasn't a real big service. They had Randy Clark. Many of you would know Randy Clark. Many of you have gone to hear him. Healing ministry today. He's been in Leduc many times. And they brought this man to speak. And at that time, Randy Clark was not really a person that people even knew about. And he was just sharing about going through a time of depression in his life and how that God brought victory in his life, how he overcome depression in his life. And he ended that night with a simple message to say, if you would like prayer, just come forward. And the story goes, suddenly, God broke out in the service. They didn't make it to the altar. They didn't make it to prayer. Many of them just fell under the power of God. Under the weightiness of the Holy Spirit, they just fell where they were. Some of them began to laugh. Some of them began to cry out. Some began to praise. It was, in his own words, John Arnold said, it was like chaos happened in the church. But it was a suddenly. No one else did it. God did it. God did it. And from that night on, people started coming to that church in the hundreds, then in the thousands. As people were being healed, saved, delivered, suddenly. It was very interesting as I was reading his story about that revival, how he began to talk about that people were telling him, even when that happened, that, John, this is not it. This is not the last time revival. There's another one that's to come. You're just getting a taste. And what a taste they did get. But they were being told as that was taking place that it was just a taste. And then interestingly, John himself, he had a dream in 1998. And he had a dream of this massive tsunami wave that nothing could stop coming across the nation of Canada. 2014, one of his assistants, I think it's his worship leader, they had this dream of a large tidal wave coming. And she dreamt that over and over again. And then he began to refer to other people that have been sensing and dreaming, having visions of a revival that was yet to come. Stacy Campbell, at their anniversary celebrations of the church, had her dream of a wave coming of holiness, power, signs, and wonders. And then other people like Patricia King or Barbara Yoder, some other people that have all seen this tidal wave that was coming across the nation that was going to bring revival and encounters with God across our land. And friends, I had no idea that others had seen this sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming in the form of a tidal wave. And you may remember, I think I shared it on a Sunday night, that I had a vision about, can't remember, a month and a half, 2 months ago. And in that vision, I was on the west end of town by Extra Foods. And in the vision, I was driving my white Camaro. The Lord seemed to show me that I was driving that. And as I got to kind of where you would turn right or left, either into Extra Foods or go towards my home, I saw a tidal wave coming towards us. And it was just like an ocean, a sea, an ocean coming towards me. And for a moment, I thought, man, I'm in the Camaro. I'm going to beat her to the right and I'll outrun this. And then as I looked, I realized, no, the wave's also over to my right. It's also over to my left, as far as the eye could see. And I realized, this is going to get everybody. There's no place to run. There's no place to go, that this is coming. And I realized that this was the glory of God that was coming, that there was going to be a wave of the glory of God that would sweep over our community and touch our community. Everyone is going to be touched. How they respond is going to be up to them, but it will affect everyone. There's no avoiding it. And I knew that everyone was going to be affected. And I knew it wasn't a picture of disaster, because I felt that picture of the glory. And I just felt myself just pulling off to the side and say, okay, Lord, just come get me. Let that wave come right over me. And I know that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And friends, you know how often I change vehicles. I have some issues with vehicle things. That spoke to me really clearly that I was driving that Camaro. That means this is going to be soon. Very, very soon. Right? You know that. If you know me, I have some weird issues with vehicles. See, when this happens, people you never thought of are going to come to Christ suddenly. You're going to find that, you know, people are going to come to your door. And they're going to be knocking on your door. You're wondering, but what ministry am I going to do? I need to be doing a ministry. Ministry is coming to you. Whether you're ready for it or not, I encourage you, get ready for some ministry. Because people are going to come to your door, because they're going to recognize, hey, aren't you a Christian? Something's happening. What means this? Just like they said in the book of Acts, what's going on? And they're going to come to you and ask. You're going to find people at your workplace. They're going to come to you and say, hey, aren't you one of those people that believes in God? Well, I can't stop thinking about God. What's going on? You need to tell me. We're going to have cell groups everywhere. Because, not because we planned them, because God plans them and you're the leader. And that's what's going to take place. I really believe that. People are going to come. Yes, this church will grow. This will be a hub of revival. Just as our speaker again confirmed that last Sunday. I don't know how many times we need to hear that before we start believing it. Sometimes we look around us and we see, you know what, now we're in a downturn in the economy. Things aren't going as good before. What a better time for God to show up and say, this is about my glory, not yours. I don't want you guys claiming that you're the ones responsible for it. Because you're not, it's me. It's a sovereign move of His Holy Spirit that's coming upon our nation, our region, our town, and our church. And I really believe it is very soon. I believe it's like, I'm believing like spring, summer. I've been at the other end of town and praying, snow, I rebuke you, snow. You snowstorm, stop coming. Like, let the spring come. Because there was no snow when I saw that. So I know it has to be either a spring or a summertime. And I'm always thinking of trading a vehicle in, so I said, God, it's got to be soon here. I'm believing for that. So I'm believing for one last big outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring a harvest of souls that has never been seen before, and that will usher in the return of Christ for His church. I know many of you believe that as well. I know many of you believe that. There's been offerings that have come in where people have donated thousands and thousands of dollars. And they said, this is for the harvest. Because when that harvest comes in, you need to have some money there to help those people as they come in. And there's been people that have been giving for that regard. That's quite something. There are many prophetic voices saying that these things are going to be taking place. Our very own church at Bethel has words that have been spoken over it numerous times. And if you were here last Sunday, you would watch this young man that we had to come to speak. He had his sermon. He had his scriptures. He had his iPad. It was all full. He was all ready to speak his sermon, where suddenly got him right at the front row. That during worship, God just suddenly got him. And he was shocked. He was shocked. He couldn't believe it. And then you heard what he spoke about, that this is it. This is a place that God is going to move upon. He grabbed me into my office right after the service. I got to talk to you right now. And he hauled me into the office and he said, "Pastor, I'm part of a prophetic committee across our nation of Canada. We've been looking for where this revival is going to begin. Pastor, I believe it's here. I believe it's here." God's stirring people. He really is. Have you noticed that every speaker we get to come to this church, whether they're a prophetic person or not, always end up prophesying something that God has greater things ahead for this church? Have you ever noticed that? It happens all the time. We need to start believing those words. I've always felt that it is my calling to lead you to experience that outpouring. I know that I'm called to St. Paul. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And an outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming to this church, this town, this region, just as it's been spoken about by many others, that will take place. As I think about that, I like the words of John Arnott. He made this statement. He said, "If God has promised that he will move in your church or in your life, he will. You can count on that. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when." And I really believe that. That's a great statement. If God has promised that he will move in your church or in your life, he will. You can count on it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I know there's been words that have been spoken over you as individuals as well. God has spoken things about your future and things that will happen. And maybe you're discouraged and you're down because you're not seeing those things happen right now. And maybe you're even to the far extreme that you're not seeing anything take place. You need to take courage in that word. If God said it to you, it's going to happen. It's not about an if. It's about a win. Interesting, there's a gathering of revivalists meeting together in Toronto later this month of April. And they're praying for that release of that Holy Ghost outpouring be upon this nation. It's going to be a powerful conference. A pastor's conference in Reading has also been moved to next week. And usually that's in May. And so there's something significant taking place that is happening. People are preparing for a move, another suddenly, of the Holy Ghost. Judy and I, we're heading out there tomorrow, going down to Reading. We got some really, really cheap tickets. Actually, it's cheaper for the two of us to go there than it is for just myself to go and visit my mom in Nova Scotia. So we got a great deal there, and we're going there not just for refreshing. Reading is a place to us of refreshment. We need some refreshment. But that's not the reason I'm going. I'm going, and Judy's going, because we're believing for an impartation. We really are. And we've had so many people that have been talking to and say, "Pastor, I don't know what it is, but there's something important for you being there at this time." And so we're looking forward to that and expecting to receive something that is far greater than what we could ever imagine. That's what we heard. First words we heard as we came into Alberta, that you were going to see things that were far greater than you ever thought possible or even imagined. See, God moves suddenly. And as he moves suddenly, people will experience Christ in a very powerful and a very real way that you won't have to worry about convincing them. They'll know that they'll know God is real. I'm expecting it. I'm believing for it. I'm praying for it. I'm waiting for it. I'm dreaming it. I'm having visions of it. It's going to happen. I believe it's going to be soon. So get ready for the suddenly of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. It's coming. It's coming. But friends, this is not the only suddenly to get ready for. There's another suddenly that will follow closely behind this outpouring. The sudden return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again for his church. And the Bible tells us very clearly that it will happen suddenly. It will be an unexpected event that will take place. And please note as you read this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, as it talks about the Holy Spirit being outpoured, then being poured on her sons and her daughters, and then it just jumps to speak about the day of the Lord. Speaking about the end times where the coming of the Lord takes place, where the judgments of God from the book of Revelations begin to happen. So it's telling us that one event will lead to the other event. Acts 2, 19 to 21. Look at the verses that speak right after his Spirit being poured out. It says that I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this day of the Lord ushers in the return of Christ and the judgments of Revelations. It will happen suddenly. But before it happens, we see this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will happen right up until that day, so that people can be saved from experiencing those judgments. See, it's time to serve the Lord. The time to serve God is now. And that's why I believe that God is going to pour out his Spirit one more time, a vast outpouring, to get that collection of Christians and people to respond so that we don't have experience those judgments when they come. It's for this reason I believe that God desires no one to perish. That's God's desire. That everyone would come to Christ, that everyone would experience salvation and eternal life. God wants us to be ready. And that's why God desires to move upon people and encounter people so they can be saved. Friends, this revival that is coming, or this move of the Holy Spirit, this outpouring, is not about that we can feel good or we can get healed or we can get delivered and set free and, you know, our churches can grow and we can be prosperous. Not about that at all. It's about getting people into the kingdom of God before Jesus Christ returns. That's what it's really about. How do we get saved? How do we get saved? The way to be saved. How to be ready for this coming of the Lord. Well, the Bible says, call on him. Call on the Lord. Believe in Jesus. Believe in God's Son. Express faith in him and make that desire to live for him. The return of Christ is near. I really believe it's really that soon. It's going to come unexpectedly. Just as the Bible says. That's why he tells us many times in Scripture, you need to be ready. I believe that's why there will be one last move of the Holy Spirit upon the land where people encounter Christ and come to faith in Jesus Christ, because his coming is soon. He wants as many of us to respond as possible. He gives us the opportunity. Still your choice. You can either receive Christ or you can reject Christ. Listening to some of the scriptures that speak about this suddenly. Matthew 24, 27 and 44, it says, for as lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. You also must be ready, verse 44, at all times, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. So these verses, they talk about the return of Christ. There's going to be another suddenly, another major suddenly that is going to take place. It will happen quickly. You will not know the day, nor will you know the hour, but it's still going to happen. Jesus Christ is returning for his people. Those who are dead will be raised along with those who are alive to spend an eternity with Christ in heaven. And I believe that that promise is closer than what we think. You have heard ministers as you've gone to funerals, and there's been so many funerals of late. And as you listen to some of these funerals, you hear them talking about this hope that we have that after we die that there's life after death. They talk about that this body's going to be raised again to live eternally. So we're hearing that in all these sermons that are going on with these people that have gone through these tragedies. There's been many ministers that have been preaching about the return of Christ for years. And with all the troubles that are around our world today, it looks like this event is extremely near. If we look at what is happening in the Middle East right now, it's kind of, the Bible kind of uses the Middle East as a thermometer that tells us how close the coming of Jesus could be. And friends, when you understand all the prophecies that speak of this return and this coming, basically those Bible scholars are telling us that there's very few left to be filled. And those few that are left can be filled really within days. And so this coming is very quick. This suddenly is going to happen very quick, where we get ready to receive our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent. See, there's a suddenly, and it's the return of Jesus Christ. Please realize that as the Holy Spirit starts to move in great waves across our nation and our world, the return of Christ is close at hand. It's right there. So friends, I want you to be aware this morning of what is coming, that you might be ready to respond. I was kind of saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't know if this is kind of the right message. Like, God, you see some of the things that we're doing in our church. Like, is this kind of the right message I should speak? And heard pretty clearly the Lord said, yes, you need to talk about this, but don't forget to talk about the suddenly of the coming of Christ. Yes, there is a suddenly that's coming, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is going to draw many people to faith in Jesus Christ. It will be the largest harvest we have ever seen in our world. But again, that purpose is not so we can be all blessed and our churches grow and, you know, to see all these wonderful things and healings and miracles. It's really about preparing us for the next suddenly, the return of Jesus Christ. You want to be ready. You want to be ready. How do you ready yourself for the coming of Christ? The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord. Call on him. Profess your belief in him. Repent of your sins. Strive to be that follower of God instead of a follower of the enemy or a follower of self. See, now is the time to serve God. Now is the time to make things right with God. Two suddenlies are at your door. The suddenly of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that this world has ever seen, and the suddenly of the return of Christ that will follow this outpouring. We need to get ready to meet the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. We really do. I think of a dream, it was a vision actually, of a person in our church. There have been many people I've been seeing angels, and I'm not into making any doctrines out of angels or anything. But when people are seeing things, you got to listen to what are people seeing. And you've heard many people talk that they've seen angels here in this church. They've seen an open heaven of angels. One of the gentlemen shared with me, he saw that. He said, Pastor, the angels have shifted. They're along the walls. Both sides. It's like they're waiting for a procession to happen. I tell you what it is. It's the coming of the Lord. They're waiting for the coming of the Lord. First in an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, where lives are changed, lives are transformed, people are come to faith in Christ. And then face to face as we rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Those suddenlies are upon us. They're closer than what you believe. And as we close this morning, I'm just going to ask the musicians that they come back to the instruments, or if it's just Cynthia. We're just going to close on a song, and I know we got some great things all planned here to enjoy and have some fun and fellowship. But are you ready? Are you ready? Are you expecting God to move in mighty ways? Do you even want it? You know, sometimes we get that place that we get used to God and things of God. We get used to coming to church and praying a little bit and thinking, well, that's good enough. God has something much greater for every one of us. He really does. There's a greater destiny upon every person in this church than what you realize. There's a greater ministry that's coming for you than what you've ever thought possible. Don't be discouraged that maybe right now you're not doing or involved in some ministry or quotations that the church calls this ministry. God has ministries for you. It's going to surprise you what they are. It's going to happen to every one of us. There's a tidal wave coming. I saw it was very clear. I got excited when I got reading to find out that many others have seen that. I'm believing for here. This is where I live. This is where God brought us. This is where God has called me. I'm trusting for that to happen right here. It will happen. It doesn't matter if you even believe me or not. Because one day it will take place and you'll remember that day that you were in church and you heard that pastor, you might say, you're kind of weird. You're going to see it take place. It'll be a suddenly. It just happens suddenly. Everything changes when it happens. People crying out to God. People crying out to God in your places of work. People crying out to God just in your neighborhood. People coming to you instead of you sharing about Christ, they're going to be coming to you and say, hey, what's going on? There's something. Surely you can help me. They're going to come to you. It's going to be a great outpouring. Many people are going to come to Jesus Christ. Many words have been spoken about our First Nations. We're surrounded here. That wave is going to overtake them all too. All of us. You're not going to escape it. It's going to hit you. However, there will be a choice. You can choose to open up your heart to God, or you can choose to say, no, I'm not. I don't want it. I trust that you will all be ready to say, Lord, I welcome it. Just come. Just come over me. And let me tell you, when a wave encounters you and real, it messes you up. You can ask my wife. She got in a big wave this year in Hawaii. I just stood on the beach. I ain't going out there. And she got tumbled by the wave. It just flipped her and turned her inside out. Some equipment she lost in that experience of that wave. That's what God's going to do to you. That's what He's going to do to you. Man, you don't know what you mean. You might end up rolling down an aisle or something, or get knocked over. When that wave comes, it's going to be a sudden. It's going to be powerful. It really will. It really will. There are suddenlies that are coming. But there's also a suddenly of the return of Jesus Christ. It's been promised all through Scripture. We sometimes kind of forget about it. We kind of put it off to the side and don't think about it. He's coming again. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready for His coming? Are you ready for the Savior call today? Remember those old hymns like, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. There's a confidence. It should be an expectation to say, yes, Lord, if you want to come today, it's okay with me. I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to see my Savior. I was thinking that as we were singing that song this morning, we love you, Lord. And I'm saying, you know, Lord, if this was my last day on earth, I'd like to be able to say that. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Love you. So as we close this service here this morning, there's some food and fellowship there. Everyone is welcome to join us for the soup and bun. You're then welcome to stay for those pie auctions. And if you don't want to stay, that's okay too. There's other ways you can donate towards the youth to go to YC, that you can do that there. But as we close, if you're here of needing prayer, or maybe just some stuff is going on, I know there's been a lot of grief of late. Just so much heartache of late. Really across the nation. The nation is mourning. There's a mourning that's going over on across the land right now. There's been a mourning in our own church. Numbers of folks that have experienced loss. And Jesus wants us to know that He is the divine comforter, that He is able to comfort us in ways that we didn't even think are even possible, but He's able to do that. So if you're in need of prayer today, we'd gladly pray with you. If you're here today and maybe you'd like to pray with someone, say, hey, you know, I think I'm ready for the return of Christ. And, you know, I have professed my faith in Him, but I'd just like to do it again with somebody. And does somebody just pray with me? And we'd be very happy to do that as well. And so as we close, I'm just going to ask you to stand with me. And Cynthia, just close us in a song. And after you sing that song, you are dismissed and you're able to go. And if some of you young people need to go already to get ready back there, feel free to go. But just take this next moment and just check yourself.